Well, today we are looking at the story of a man who met Jesus. But he did it whilst avoiding a crowd. This man was practicing social distancing not because of COVID-19, in fact, not because of any virus. He was social distancing because, well, he was the sort of guy that people didn't want to be around. I don't know if you've ever felt like everybody wants to avoid you or would rather not be around you. I'm sure from time to time, maybe we all feel a bit like that. You know, when you feel like you're just a bad smell to everyone? We all feel like that at times, and generally that's unfounded. And it's not true. Well, for this guy, it was. With our current social distancing, I don't know if you've experienced this, when we go for a walk, we have this new social phenomena that we do when we see somebody coming the other way on the path. It's that apologetic look you give them as you cross to the far side of the pavement. The it's not you, it's the virus look that you give while actually saying, hello. Actually, one thing I've noticed when I'm out for a walk at the moment is we say hello a lot more than we used to at the moment. Well, with this man, let me tell you, you'd have had no qualms about apologising next time you cross the street to avoid him. In fact, you wouldn't want to just be at the other side of the pavement, you'd want to be at the other side of the street to avoid this guy. Because people did not like this man. And I kind of get the sense he wasn't over keen on people either. This morning we're going to look at a man called Zacchaeus. It's a story I've always been very fond of because it's a story about a short man climbing a tree. I'm short and I used to love as a kid climbing trees. Although for some reason in recent years, the trees have got harder to climb. It's like they're making them different. I can't imagine why, but I definitely blame the trees. So when Jesus came to town and this man wanted to see what all the fuss was about, he had to find a way to be able to see Jesus while still social distancing. I'm going to read from Luke 19. I'm going to read from verses 1 all the way to verse 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. That's Jesus. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. Been there. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner? Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. Back when he was ministering on earth, Jesus had a huge following wherever he went. Crowds were just a mass round him, especially when he arrived in a city. Word would get out and go from person to person that Jesus was on the way. He was on the way to the city. He was on the road. He was coming. And people would get out their houses and they would flock to see him. So Jesus arrives in Jericho. And Jericho was a very important town at the time. It was an important stop on the trade route to Jerusalem. And it was a popular destination to go to. Apparently it smelled very nice. As a result, it was one of the greatest taxation centres in Israel. Now that attracts a certain type of tax collector, one of whom was Zacchaeus. Who was this guy? Well, Luke tells us three things about him right away that tells us a lot about who he is. First of all, he was a chief tax collector, he was rich, and he was short. Now, that's an interesting combination that I think tells us a lot about this guy. Maybe not so much the height one. As a short person, I don't subscribe to the idea that short people have some kind of chip on their shoulder, and I tell you, I'll fight anyone who says otherwise. No, the height comes into play in the story, but it doesn't really tell us much about his character. But we are told he was a tax collector, and he was rich. That tells us a lot about him. You see, there's always something inherently suspicious about a rich tax collector. Tax collectors at this time as well, especially rich ones, were not popular people. This may come as some surprise to you, but tax collectors were even more unpopular then than they are today. And there's some very good reasons for that. You see, Israel was an occupied nation. The Romans had conquered them. So the taxes that were getting taken weren't really for their own country. They were for Caesar. See, it's all very well for us to pay our taxes knowing they're going to support the NHS or the fire services or, you know, those really elaborate fireworks displays at Stockton Riverside. We get that. That's worth it. Maybe not the last one. Those things are worth it, and we might not like paying for it, but we appreciate the fact that our bins need emptying and that the nation has a cost to run it. But just imagine for a moment that that tax money was all going right out the country to another country that was in control of your country, to an invading force that came in and took your land over. So to think that your taxes were paying towards the soldiers on the street who were stopping your freedom and limiting you as a nation. You were paying your oppressors so that they could continue to oppress you. Well, that doesn't quite sit so well with you, does it? So collecting money for that was always going to be an unpopular job. The trouble is, it's the sort of job that attracts a certain type of person. And local people that the Romans used to collect their taxes also tended to be dishonest people. Not all of them by any means, but a rich tax collector? How did he get rich? Well, he did so by stealing. That's not me making assumptions about him. He admits as much himself when he's speaking to Jesus. He charged more for the taxes than he was asked, and he kept the difference himself. So Zacchaeus was an immoral man. He was a thief. He was a bully. He took money from the poor, and he used it to line his own pockets. He sided against his own people with the occupying force. He was the sort of guy who looked after number one and took advantage of everybody else. In other words, he was probably one of the most hated people in the region. That's mostly his fault, but I suppose that in a sense doesn't make it any easier to be it. Because we all know riches don't bring happiness. Riches don't bring real friends. So in all likelihood, Zacchaeus was bitter, unhappy, and lonely. He was spending his life trying to achieve something, but also searching deep down for acceptance and for love. You know, we can look in a lot of places for those things and not find it. But it's when we see Jesus that we find real love and real acceptance. So this little man, this little thief, he wanted to see what all the fuss was about with Jesus. But the crowd was so strong and tall, he couldn't see. And I can't imagine anyone is quite in the frame of mind to say, "Oh, Zacchaeus, yeah, go on, you, before me. Ah, please, be my guest." So he chose to distance himself from the crowd. He climbed a tree. Put some distance between him and the crowd, and also gives him the opportunity to have a better look. You know, sometimes you just need to get away from the crowd. A crowd can be a very effective way of keeping you from Jesus. We can end up so concerned about what people think of us or what people will say if they find out that we're interested in following Jesus. Or sometimes we can even let the hustle and bustle of everyday life distract us. But when we find ourselves distanced from that, actually he's certainly a lot easier to see. I think that's one of the great things about what's going on at the moment and the social distancing we're going through. It's kind of cleared the haze of the crowd in our lives. It's made it a little easier for us to see. I believe that's why there's such a spiritual hunger at the moment, not just out of it is a concern about mortality, but also that this distance has given us some perspective on life. That's why we've all been thinking about what life means that little bit more. See, a little distance can be a big help. So Zacchaeus, he saw Jesus was heading roughly in his direction. He thinks, if I can get high enough up, I'll be able to see what's going on. Not only that, I'll get a great view. So he runs on ahead and he climbs a tree, specifically a sycamore tree. Now, sycamore trees can grow very large. We don't know how big this one was, but it's obviously small enough to have handholds or footholds low enough down for a little man to climb up. Because we little people, we need some low footholds. Sycamore trees are also very leafy trees. It means they can provide a lot of coverage for someone who climbs up them. So you could imagine that Zacchaeus would be thinking, not only could he stay away from the crowd, but he could see Jesus unobserved and see what's going on. You know, for some people, that's the only way they really want to see Jesus, from a distance. Maybe this morning that's you. You're fine with people praying for you when a Christian friend tells them that the church is praying for you. Great, you love that. Sometimes it might even work. Church is okay for Christmas. And, you know, it would be okay for Easter, maybe, if it wasn't over a bank holiday weekend. Weddings, funerals, you'll go, you'll turn up, you'll put on that show. Maybe when times are bad in life, you'll have a little prayer. But the rest of your time, you like to keep your distance. Observe Jesus from afar. What's interesting is Jesus can see through all of that. He has no intention of staying distant to you. And Jesus came right to where Zacchaeus was and looks up right at him. He knew right where he was and he knew exactly who he was. Let me tell you, he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows what you faced. He knows the times in life you've gone astray. He knows the times you've hurt other people. He knows the times you've been hurt. You might think nobody understands you. You are wrong. He does. And Jesus looked right up at Zacchaeus. See, Zacchaeus had an appointment with Jesus that this little man knew nothing about. But Jesus had set this date in his mind long ago. He looks up and he even calls him by name. Today, Jesus has made an appointment with you. You are not watching this by accident. You might think you are, but you're not. Maybe somebody sent you a link or you came across it just, you know, one video to another. But let me tell you, however you found this message, Jesus knew well in advance that you would be watching. He knew Zacchaeus by name. And he knows you by name too. He knows your name. So Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I must stay at your house today. See, Jesus isn't just saying hello. He's inviting himself into Zacchaeus' home, into Zacchaeus' life. He invites himself right into this guy's situation. He didn't say, "Zacchaeus, down now. You and I need to have a conversation about your bad behaviour. Come on." He didn't say, "Zacchaeus, I am really cross with you because of the way you've been living." No. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming for supper." You see, Jesus met Zacchaeus exactly where he was and asked to spend time with him. Whatever mess it is in your life that you're carrying, whatever mistakes you have made, understand this. Jesus wants to be close to you. See, that's where we start. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to be part of your life. Today, right now, that's what he wants, because he loves you. He met him exactly where he was, and he will meet you exactly where you are too. See, the invitation is there, just like it was for Zacchaeus. But it's up to you if you want to accept that invitation. Zacchaeus didn't have to come down from that tree. He didn't have to say yes. But we're told he hurried down and received him joyfully. See, when he responded to Jesus, when he came down, when he received Jesus joyfully, something happened to him. See, Jesus loves you and will accept you exactly as you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay there. Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus to change. But what we see is Zacchaeus changed. See, when Jesus shows up in your life, when you make a connection to Jesus, it changes you. See, people were appalled that Jesus wanted to spend time with this man. Not only could they not believe that Jesus would want to go to his house, but it also meant he'd be hanging out with other people who were just as bad as Zacchaeus. Eh, people, eh? We can be like that sometimes. We can look at certain people and wonder how God could ever accept them, because all we see are the faults and the bad choices they've made. But God sees through it. Jesus saw through all these things that were getting in the way for other people. And meeting Jesus, responding to Jesus, did something to Zacchaeus. See, once he'd believed, the rest of his life came sharply into focus. He didn't need to be told the bad things he'd done. He already knew that. He didn't need to be told by Jesus he was a sinner. He already knew that. See, deep down, we all do. In the quiet of the night, we know who we really are, don't we? He realized what he'd done. He realized the kind of person he'd become. He remembered each person he'd ripped off and mistreated. And he wants to make amends. He said, "Half of my possessions I'm going to give to the poor." Boom, just like that. He cuts his wealth in half. Now we might think, big deal, he could probably afford that. But then he goes one step further. From that half, he then says, "I am going to give them back, those who have defrauded, 4 times what I took." Let me tell you, financially, in half, then given back 4 times, it would have wiped him out. His wealth came from defrauding people. To give 4 times back would have been everything he had, possibly more. This guy would have been incredibly out of pocket for this. What he was offering to do was far and above what the Jewish legal requirement was. See, they had this system that if you confessed your theft, then the legal amount due was what you took plus 1/5. He gave back the amount required from someone who hadn't confessed or had done great harm in someone by taking things from them, you know, physically. In other words, he saw his sin, and he saw it in the worst possible way. He saw it so bad, he wanted to give it the worst treatment. See, he wasn't willing to give himself an easy pass or give himself an easy time of it because he hated the things he'd done. And he realized he had to put them right. A pastor called F.W. Borman shared a very sobering story once. There was a meeting in progress and several women were given their testimony, their story about how they met Jesus. And one woman in the room just kept grimly silent. You know, that kind of... She was asked to testify, but she refused. Afterwards, she was asked why, and she answered, "Four of those women who'd just given their testimony owe me money. And my family and I are half starved because we can't afford to buy food." A testimony is worthless unless it is backed by deeds which guarantee its sincerity. See, it's not just a change of words that Jesus is demanding, it's a change of life. See, repentance isn't just realizing what you've done. "Oh, Jesus, I'm very sorry." Repentance is a change that takes place in us. We don't just feel sorrow, but we have a desire to make things right. Now, there might be some things we can't put right, but it's this desire to do it. Where does that desire to do it come from? Well, something happens to us when we turn to Jesus. See, Zacchaeus at that moment was a new man. The Bible tells us when we accept Christ, we become a new creation. We become brand new people. See, Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus to change, but Zacchaeus changed. And when you come into contact with Jesus, you stop being the same person. When you accept Jesus, all things become new. Whatever baggage you've arrived with, he's the difference you need to get rid of it. See, this man's life was never the same again. See, you might be watching me today, and you might think, "Well, I can't change. I can't change." You might have things that in your past that you just can't get past. Here's the thing. You can't. You can't make yourself new, but Jesus can. You might look at a better version of yourself and think it's impossible for you to get there. It is. But Jesus can get you there. See, when you come to him, he changes everything. Jesus also said, after this, he said, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." This man was lost. He was beyond anybody else's reach. And that's exactly who Jesus came for. If you feel far away from God, if you feel lost in your life, if you feel like you'll never be good enough, if you don't deserve heaven, then you are exactly the kind of person that Jesus came to set free. He came for those who are lost in their sin. He came for those who've hurt other people. He came for the hurting. He came for the desperate. And let me tell you, whatever has happened in your life has not put you beyond his reach. What it means is you're exactly the sort of person he came for. Jesus said it himself once. He said, "Well people don't need a doctor. It's sick people who need a doctor. Perfect people don't need a saviour. Lost people do." Now, there's no perfect people. That's why we all need Jesus as our saviour. But the point is, you are not too lost for Jesus. See, lost means you're displaced, you've wandered, you're in the wrong place in life. And maybe that's how your life has always felt, like something is off. You feel wrong, off balance, you don't know where you should be. Well, Jesus came to find you and to put you in the right place. You are not too far gone for him. You are not someone who Jesus can't care for, because he knows exactly where you're hiding, and he has an appointment set with you. He's invited himself in. He's just waiting for you to come down and respond. Will you respond to Jesus this morning? Will you accept Jesus into your life this morning? Will you say yes to that invitation? Let me tell you, you can't sit and watch him at a distance forever. You can't continue to get by without him. You know, if Zacchaeus had not responded to Jesus in that moment, do you know what his life would have been like? More of the same. Still lost. Still greedy. Still rich. But still alone. That, sadly, is the story for many. More of the same. Next chapter, pretty much the same as the last one. But Jesus is calling you out of the tree. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to enjoy his company. And can I say, honestly, if you do, your life will never be the same again. You will become a brand new creation. He couldn't just stay at a distance and watch Jesus. You see, it doesn't work like that. If Zacchaeus doesn't get out the tree, he would have just continued watching from a distance. But responding changed him. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came to bring salvation to your house. You are on his agenda. You are on his mind. That's why you're watching right now. Jesus didn't just come to make you a better person who gives back to those who you've wronged. He came to transform you. He came to give you a hope. He came to restore your connection to your Heavenly Father. You may feel like you're disconnected from the crowd. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel unloved. And I'm here today to tell you this. Jesus loves you. Jesus came to save you. Jesus died on a cross for you. And he rose again to give you a hope. And with Jesus in your life, you will never be alone. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you don't just get a brand new life, although you get that. You get an inheritance that will last for eternity. Jesus is offering you a place in his Father's house. He's offering you a place with him. He invited himself into the house of Zacchaeus. But in return, he offered an eternal home in his house. He wants to change your life. He loves you. He cares for you. He's looking up at you and calling you by name. Will you respond to him? God bless you.